Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone.
Morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Yes.
How's everybody doing?
Yes.
Some of you look like you're not feeling good this morning. Do you love God?
Yes.
Sing this song with me. I really love the Lord. If you love Him, sing it. Well, I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, He gave me the victory. And that's why I love. Yes, I love Him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And He watches over me. And you don't know what is
done.
Yes,
me.
Oh yes, He gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love Him. I really love the Lord. Oh yes, and you don't know what. Thank you, Lord. He gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love. Yes, I'm beautiful. I really love. Let's sing that one more time. Oh, yes, and you don't know what He's done for me. Oh, yes, He gave me. That's why I love the Lord. I love Him. I really love the Lord. Amen. 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 And good morning again. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning to serve our great God in heaven. He woke us up this morning, and we don't take that for granted. To those of you that are visiting with us this morning, you are truly honored guests, and we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. We know we have some special guests here this morning, and we want to recognize them at the end of our worship service. Those that's tuning in by way of television, thank you also for tuning in this morning. We hope you stop. We know you have a lot of choices. You got all kind of channels, but stop so the Lord can speak to you this morning. We hope we can minister to you. We can say something that will touch your heart. If you need to call somebody, to talk with someone, to pray with someone, if you call a number on your screen, we'd be more than happy to pray with you this morning. Those of you that's joining us by way of live stream, thank you. We know that many of our members are in hospitals, are in homes, caretakers, are taking care of loved ones and wish they could be here, but they can't be here. We thank God for technology and folk who know how to use technology to bring it right in your home, right in your hospital room. But may you know that we are here at the Field Ward Church of Christ, especially if you are a member of this body, that we are praying diligently for you that one day soon you return to our fellowship here at the Field Ward Church of Christ. God is good, isn't He? I started a lesson series a few weeks ago. We're on lesson 3 this morning, entitled The Authorized Biography of Jesus Christ. The Authorized Biography of Jesus Christ. And we're on lesson number 3. And I don't want to be repetitious, but I want to bring you up to speed. Thank you, brother. Up to speed on where we are right now. Why are you doing a series on what do you mean, the authorized biography of Jesus Christ? Well, I say authorized because there is a couple of books entitled The Authorized Biography of Christ. But the only record we have that is a biography of the life of Christ even these books used as a primary source are the Gospels that we have in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And even in your Bibles, if you open your Bible, it will say the Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel meaning good news. Everybody say good news. See, the good news, it was shown of good news back then, and it's good news today. And I know we are biased. We are biased audience for the most part in here this morning because most of us are believers. But I would remind you that, you know, every time the Lord's people come together, the devil sometimes slip in here also. And so we know that there may be those who are doubting, those who are searching. And that's all right because you're in the right place this morning. But we say authorized because the human authors of these gospels, though the Holy Spirit inspired them to write, Matthew and John were apostles who walked with Jesus during his ministry. And they actually spent 3+ years with Jesus. Then you have Luke, the physician, who was a close friend and comrade of the apostle Paul. And then you have Mark, who is the cousin of Barnabas, who Barnabas, some would even call an apostle, who walked closely with the apostles. So these men intimately knew about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit used them to record their record of the life biography, the life of Jesus Christ. And we uphold, we lift it up. And I know sometimes we come to the church and we want a special sermon on marriage and on parenting and on children and on, but when you talk about Jesus, it encompasses all of that. And see, Jesus made some major claims that we want to address. Major claims, and why we studying about the life of Christ, because for us as Christians, Jesus is the foundation for everything that we do. One major claim that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he said, all power or all authority has been given unto me. Now that's a mighty bold claim to say all the power was given to you. If he has all the power, don't you think we ought to listen to him? Yeah, he said other things. He said other things like, he says, my words are going to judge you in the last day, according to John chapter 12 and verse number 48. He said in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on me shall have eternal life. Anybody want eternal life? Yes. Then he says, that he that does not obey me will not see life, is what Jesus said. And then in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. These major claims that Jesus said, and they are recorded in the Gospels. And so we search these Gospels. We research this biography, this life of Christ to either confirm or deny that Jesus is who he said he is. And I know those of us that are older saints in here, you say, well, Gary, I know Jesus. I believe Jesus. Well, we got some younger saints who's not so sure. And you know what I'm finding out? Some of our older saints are not as sure as they need to be. And then sometimes we can be sure and don't know how to defend the faith, if you will. Young man, we sound like Philip in the book of John, a young man, I was talking, it's been a little while, but he just was having problems. And not only this young man, but a lot of our young men or young women are questioning and doubting. But Gary, I don't even know if I believe in God. And it's sad when we hear that. But it's so, so true, and it's so real in some people's mind. I asked a young man, I said, well, son, do you don't know if you believe in, do you believe in Jesus? He said, well, I've heard of Jesus, and I'm not sure that I believe in Jesus. Well, hey, have you been reading your Bible? Well, I read the Bible, but I'm just still not sure. You know, he's not the first one that's not sure. He's not the first that's not sure. We studied the first part of these lessons. We talked about the young life of Jesus and his birth and how an angel came to Mary and said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And his name shall be Emmanuel, which interpreted means God with us. told the young man, if you believe in Jesus, you need to believe in God. Philip came to Jesus and he says, Father, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And Jesus told him, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. That's what Jesus told Philip. And he was one of the apostles who walked with him. So when you doubt, don't kick yourself, but just keep searching. Keep looking till you find the foundation that you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. People have been questioning Jesus' deity throughout the centuries. And so we take a closer look at his biography so we can dive into some of these things. We've looked at his young life and how his young life, Jesus, the Bible doesn't give us many details about his young life. But we do know from what we have that Jesus was a low-key young individual, low-key. His young life was marked with humility and subjection, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 46, and Luke 2 and verse number 51. We know that he was an avid student, that he was in the temple, both listening to the teachers and asking questions. Jesus was an avid student as a young man. We know he had a work ethic because he became a carpenter, according to Mark chapter 6 and verse number 3. We know that he garnered favor. In his young life, he garnered favor from God and men. And so that distinguished Jesus as a young man in his life. Can you imagine if Jesus would have went around bragging as a young boy when he was in the temple? You know I'm the Son of God. You know I'm going to be running everything after a while. If Jesus would have done that at a very young age. See, that's not going to garner. But Gary, how do you garner favor? A lesson we can learn from Jesus is to stay humble. Amen, somebody. Some of us need to hear this morning. Some of us we're too cocky, we're too arrogant, we're too braggadocious this morning. Amen, somebody. James said it, put it this way in James 4:6, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Everybody say humble. Everybody say, I need to be more humble. Amen. Now, you said that. I didn't. I'm serious. This is a quality. As we study this, we are looking at the life of Christ, but we're learning from Christ. He is the ultimate example. I'm disturbed even in the Lord's church how we brag. We want titles. We brag about things and boasting about. We need to calm down and stay down. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, listen to Acts chapter 14, verse 11. Listen to Acts chapter 14, verse 11. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, and Paul, he God called him at a time when his name was Saul. His name was shamed to Paul, and God humbled Paul with his arrogant, smart self. And now Paul is on God's side and he's performing miracles and preaching the gospel. And he performing miracles. And listen to what the people, they raise their voice. This is what the people saying, saying language. The gods have come like men and have come down to us. And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garland to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowd. They were trying to lift Barnabas and Paul up and almost make little gods out of them. Listen to Paul's response in verse number 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard it, they tore their robes and rushed out of the crowd, crying out, saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature of you, and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a lip. God, Paul says, stop raising us up higher than we need to be. We are just men, just like you are. Yeah, you know, we got into where now, even in the Lord's church, we using all of these titles. And I'm telling you, it disturbs me. Now I'm going to call myself Reverend Doctor somebody. Lord have mercy. Holy and Reverend is God's name. We need to practice. You look in the Bible, all in the Bible, all the apostles, Paul, Peter. They just said Paul, Peter. You know, all of the God, all of, and when we need to be more humble ourselves. Amen, somebody. Jesus led by example. I don't want to go back over the whole lesson. We'll see his beginnings were humble beginnings. He was born in a town that nobody would have thought of, Bethlehem, a small, remote town. He was raised in an even more remote place, Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yes, it can. The Son of God came out of small. You hear this morning, some of us, we belittle ourselves and we think we can't be anybody because we're not from. It's not where you come from. Amen, somebody. It's where we headed that really counts. And sure enough counts with the Lord, but Jesus had humble beginnings. He was born in a manger. He was born in a stable. You know, if that was our son, if that was our daughter, we'd have put him up in the Hilton Hotel. Amen, somebody. But God chose to keep his son humble, and he kept him humble. Humble most of his life. We said last week on Luke chapter 3 and verse number 23 that Jesus was about 30 years old when he had began his ministry. Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, as being supposed the son of Joseph. So most of Jesus' life, and we show that his ministry lasted a little more than 3 years through scripture. I won't do it this morning. But he started, so most of his life on this earth was fairly silent. As he was in training and growing with favor with God and favor with men. That ought to speak to us also. You know, we ought to make it our ambition to lead quiet lives. The Bible tells us that. You know, stop trying to be out front all the time. Show everybody what you know. When you meet somebody, when you're going to your job, keep your mouth closed for a little while. That's some good advice. Yeah, when you first meet a person, you talk a little bit, but listen more than you talk. Amen. Don't try to let the person know everything you know. As soon as you meet them. Jesus led a pretty humble life. He was subject to his mom and his dad. And he started his ministry when he was about 30 years old. I asked last week, well, do we have any 30? We didn't have but two people. One at the first service was 30, unless somebody didn't say it. Another person at the second service that was 30 is a great age, isn't it? It is. That's a great age. Somebody when you're a teenager, you say, well, I want to be grown. And then when you get to be grown, you say, look, I wish I could go back to the womb. Amen. Amen, somebody. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Boy, I tell you what, I could go back a few years. I surely could. Wouldn't mind at all. But Jesus was 30 years old. And I wanna cover some of these. I told the church, I know some of you that are visiting, I'm taking my time with this lesson. That because I believe everything in the Bible is in there for a reason. And sometimes the Bible gives details that we just go through and look over and sometimes we don't know how to pronounce the names and we say, well, that's just information. But it's information, especially for those who doubt, to confirm. See, if these are the only records that we have of Jesus, do they confirm? Do they deny? Do they make us doubt more or do they make us believe more? Listen to the passage. Go to Luke chapter 3. This is where we ended. I believe on last week, chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. That's in the Bible for a reason. Tiberius Caesar. Now, and there are many other books that are written about the Roman government, Roman history, the Roman Empire. There are many other books, historical books. But this is the Bible that we have here today. And you'll see that in many instances, some mistakes are made. But Tiberius, there's a book written by Suetonius. He's a Roman historian about AD 100 on the Caesars. You not know there were 11 Caesars that we know about. 11 Caesars. Caesar being the emperor of Rome. Tiberius is emperor in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. He would be one of you. Some of you may know, you know of Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus, and then there's Caligula Caesar. All of these are Caesars of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was divided into four quadrants. And notice this rest of this passage. When Pontius Pilate, notice, remember these names, Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate. Some of you know of that name of Pontius Pilate. Here now, if Tiberius is in his 15th, the 15th year, that would be A.D. 15. Time divided in B.C. before Christ, A.D. Listen. So B.C., he's A.D. 15. If Jesus is born, I think I have a map. You had a map I have of the timeline, not that map, the timeline slide. There we go. Now, this is a lot of details, but here we have the timeline of Jesus' life. This right here is B.C. Now, most scholars would say that Jesus was probably born in not 0 B.C., but about 3 to 5 B.C., which I believe also, 3 to 5 B.C. So Tiberius was in his 15th year A.D., 15 years, then Jesus would be about either from 15 to 20 years old when Tiberius is in his 15th year, 15 to 20 years old. Pontius Pilate is already on the scene. He's he says Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea. Listen to this. Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee. Now bring the map up. Bring the map back up. Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee. His brother Philip was the tetrarch. Tetrarch also meaning a governor. Tetrarch of the region of Ituria and Trachonitis. And Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. Now show the map. Now you see, you have Judea. You have Galilee. You have, up here is Abilene. You have Trachonitis. All of these can be identified on historical map. This is a historical map, but even today, many of these places still exist. Why are you showing us all this, Brother Gary? For some of the doubters. For some who say, well, the Bible is not relevant. The Bible has many mistakes in it. It didn't mistake this. It got this right. So you have Tiberius Caesar, and if you read some any of the documents, the annals of the Caesars, written by Tacitus, who was a Roman senator, written in AD and AD 70 to AD 100, shortly after the New Testament Gospels were written all of these documents and talking about all of the Caesars and how crazy they were. And some, well, how I should, I don't know if I should use the word crazy, but how mean and evil many of them were, right? Including all of the Herods. We mention Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, but not the Herod that had all of the boy babies, the first boy babies killed. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, because after Jesus was born, shortly after that, Herod the Great died. But this is another Herod. But he's also Herod of Galilee. And all of these places are mentioned, the timeline. So if Jesus was 15 to 20 years old when Tiberius Caesar is mentioned here by Luke. And I mention these timelines because you'll see that the timelines confirm the biography. The timelines chime in right on time when Jesus lived, when Jesus went about his ministry, and when Jesus died. You notice that as we go through these series of lessons, that the timeline matches. Not only does the timeline confirm, the names confirm the biography. The names are accurate. And they are accurate to the T, to the time. You'll notice we read about Herod here, Herod right now, but you'll see about this Herod later on when Jesus' crucifixion and his trial comes up. And so go back to the text, if you will. And these are the four quadrants that they were tetrarch or governor of. Verse number 2. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, we'll say more about them in the future, but they are the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. This is the first mention we have of them in the New Testament. The word of God came to John. Which John is this? This would be John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. John also being the cousin of Jesus. Lord have mercy, all of these. And you know that from Luke chapter 1, verse 36, when Mary met her cousin Elizabeth. And John the Baptist was born. Some of this you got to look up on your own, amen. And Bergier can't cover it all in here. We'd be here all day and all night. But John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus was born. All right, some of you students, you look that up on your Google it if you want. I know you're not going to look it up. You don't do nothing but Google it. So that would mean that Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. So that means that Jesus and John were cousins, probably second cousins. Is that right? That's how that worked. Something, we got some cousins in here, right? Yeah, second cousin. Yeah. So John comes on the scene. We're talking about the biography of Jesus, but you got to know about John. The scripture says that in the wilderness, and he came into all the district around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Preaching a baptism. See, listen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God had the plan in mind of his son Jesus even before he created the world. Now his plan. See, some of us, we so in a big of a hurry to do everything. And you'll see that God is very deliberate, and his time schedule is not our time schedule. But here we see, and this is why we should have undeniable faith that God will do what he said he will do. And our faith in God does not need to waver when somebody hurt our feeling, when somebody in the church don't speak to us, and we just give up on God at the drop of a hat. Because God's plan, see, listen now, we read the Bible that Jesus started ministry, but 30, that's a long time. I see, you know, some of them, well, if I'd have sent my son, look, he would have got started earlier. I just want him to get busy doing this. Sometimes we just need to sit down. We need to be quiet. We need to study. We need to wait. We need to pray. And we need to wait for God to do his bidding in our life. Anybody need that this morning? Yeah, we get so anxious and so we want to hurry up and want things to happen right now. I prayed last night. I need it today. God working out his plan. John goes before him. Notice Jesus' preparation. It took a while. Young people, slow it down. You know what? You need to stay young as long as you can. Pray, amen, somebody. Ooh, boy, if I could go back, there are so many things. Wouldn't you so many things I would do different if I could go back and get some of those? But you know what? Guess what? Old people, we can't go back. You know, so we need to stay right where we are. Quit worrying about what's back there. But you better enjoy those free meals. Amen, boy, I'm telling you. Food take a lot of money. Yeah, Fred, you know, you're so excited. You see, I remember my daughter, she got some mail at the house. She said, that mail for me? I said, oh, that's got my name on it. I said, you're going to get a lot more of those. Amen. I wish all the mail was in her name. Yeah, this. John comes on the scene. John is serious business. Just as Jesus, you remember when Jesus in the temple, when his parents came to look for him, they said, don't you know I must be about my father's? Yeah. The sooner we can get focus on our primary purpose, the better. And you know, it can't be too young. You know, yes, be young. Yes, enjoy your youth. But know why God put you here. Amen. Save yourself so much trouble and headaches by going all of these different directions, doing all of these things that's not according to God's plan. John the Baptist, he was he got busy and he was focused. And he, notice this now. So if Jesus is around, if he's 15 to 20 years old, John is 6 months older than Jesus. So John, as a young man, starts his ministry. Notice, preaching the gospel. Jesus said of John later on, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Now, that's a mighty strong compliment. He says, but John the Baptist will be least in the kingdom of heaven. Hey, man, you know what? I don't care what. God, you can put me anywhere in heaven you want to. I'm talking to myself now, y'all. I don't care. You see how some people want to be seen. Ooh, I want to sit up front. You know, the mother of two of the apostles was trying to see where if her sons could sit on the right hand or the left hand of Jesus. Look, give me a seat in the back, please. I don't care where it is. Ooh, Lord have mercy. But John's preaching. And he's doing his job. I'm harping this fact because, you see, you know, when it's harder to change your ways when you get older. It's just the truth, isn't it? I mean, you know, I'm not saying that we can't change, but it's harder. So to our mature members in here, I hope you're patient with me because I'm always, you know, I used to be the youth minister years ago, and I just have a heart. When you see a young person, you know where they're going. You see it. It's like you see. Look, ooh, no, that's not what you need to be doing. Stop. You're wasting a whole lot of time. You're making it hard for yourself. And if you can get them to come, just focus right now. You don't have to bump your head. See, you know, I'm telling you something. Some of us are old in here, but we got some wounds. Amen, somebody. Now, it's not to say we don't love the God, Lord. It's not to say we're not going to make heaven our home. But I tell you what, we got some wounds that hurt. And you can't see them all. Some of them are hunting us right now. You know, we have people in here, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. But we have folk in here who we packing loads because of mistakes that we've made. Now, in Christ Jesus, we have total forgiveness. And you don't need to be walking around with a guilt trip on because you can't hardly be productive with God when you're walking with all of this sadness. You've been relieved from that. All your sins have been washed away. But some loads, they just hard to tug on. And so if you young in here right now, stop. Don't go left. Yeah, I could be more specific, but I just don't get sidetracked. God put you here for a reason. Yes, he did. Now notice this. Go to Luke chapter 3, verse 15. Luke 3, verse 15. 3:15. Boy, I don't have 7 minutes. Now, while the people, this is what was read in your hearing. Now, Jesus began his ministry at age 30, Luke 3:23. But before his ministry began, listen to this, Luke 3:15. And while the people were in a state of expectation, were all wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he was the Christ, John answered and said to them all, "As for me, I baptize you with water. But one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Get this one straight. According to the biographies that we have in the New Testament, there is none greater than Jesus. Jesus is the one. He's the mighty one. He's the only one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he shares that glory with no one. John was great, but John is not Jesus. John didn't have the power that Jesus had. And we must get that fact. John understood that he was not the one. And I say that definitively. John was a baptizer, But John had no intentions that nobody on this earth be called a Baptist. So it wasn't his intention. He just baptized people. And for the remission of their sin, for the baptism of repentance at the time. Now listen to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, John baptized, Jesus was also baptized. Now this is verse 21. Verse 23, he starts his ministry. So Jesus put first things first. Can I extend the invitation to anyone here this morning? If you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ, your race haven't even started. Amen? What do you mean, Brother Gary? Now. The Son of God, in preparation for Jesus' arrival, God paved the way before that people saw and knew what baptism was all about. John baptized for repentance. The Son of God comes to John, and John says, Jesus, you need to be baptizing me. But the Son of God was baptized. We have baptized quite a few people already this year. Do you still get happy when people get baptized?
Yes.
You know what really makes me happy is to see all these young people getting baptized. Amen. Amen. It's on their hearts. And I've talked to parents and said, I've been talking to my son. We've been talking about baptism. Want to make sure she. I'm talking to my daughter. Make sure she knows what. You know what? When you're young, you need to get baptized. Amen. You know, sometimes we get old, the devil snatch all of that out your heart. One of the saddest things is when we have a funeral for a young person who's one of our kids, who's one of our grandkids, who never got baptized into Jesus Christ. And Jesus was baptized, but not baptized for the remission of his sins because Jesus had no sin, but he did it as an example to us.
Amen.
Who would resist baptism? Raise your hand. This is not to embarrass anybody. Raise your hand if you've been baptized. Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Put your hands down. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you haven't been baptized, because, see, everybody that's been baptized, there were times that you were not baptized. But I want you to recall and remember when you were baptized into Jesus Christ. I want you to remember the time and that you were baptized into Christ. If you were baptized on a Sunday, raise your hand. On a Sunday, raise your hand. Wow, quiet. Okay, put your hands down. If you were baptized, now some of you may not know these, but anybody in here was baptized on a Monday? Wow. On a Monday. And you remember that. Praise the Lord. Was anybody in here baptized on a Tuesday? And you remember that. Praise the Lord. How about a Wednesday night? Wednesday baptism. Now, I'm doing this for a reason. I know, why are you asking that? Anybody baptized on a Thursday? Praise the Lord. Anybody baptized on a Friday? Oh, I see one hand back there. Praise the Lord on a Friday. Shame the devil. Anybody baptized on a Saturday? Praise the Lord. Every day of the week. Every day of the week. In New Testament times, when the gospel was preached in Acts chapter 2, they baptized on the day of Pentecost. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And they went from house to house daily teaching and individuals were being baptized. Why? Because they recognized that baptism puts us, it never, never, ever forget that you are a baptized believer and you did just what Jesus did. And so every time we present the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, every time we present the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we present an opportunity to somebody to get baptized. Jesus got baptized before his ministry began. You need to get baptized before your life in Christ, your ministry begins. Just as Jesus did. Well, but I know some good people. It's a lady in my neighborhood. She's so good and she does all these good things. First of all, stop trying to be God. I don't mean that in a harsh way. Because when you say you know somebody good, you don't know people like you think you know them. Scripture, listen, you know what the Bible says? There is none righteous. Notice this, no, not one. That's what God knows everybody's heart. So you stop trying to say who's good and who's not, because you don't know who's good. Yeah, she might bake you a cake, she might have let you have some candy, but you don't know what she's doing behind closed doors. Now, I'm not saying she is, but see, what we need to do is to obey God ourselves. And we need to do it before it's everlasting. Well, God, I thought you I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about his demeanor, his humility, his heart, his submission. See, individuals who argue about baptism, I'm not saying that baptism is everything, but it is important. And what puts us into Jesus Christ. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now see, listen, and I know, yes, you need to know, yes, we need to continue growing in the Lord. Yes, we need to know about Jesus Christ and his church, but it starts with Jesus. A person in here can be saved according to the scriptures and not know the majority of the Bible. What do you mean, Brother Gary? If you believe with all of your heart, notice this, this is the power of Jesus Christ. Paul says, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Notice the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Notice who believes. So the prerequisite for your salvation is that you believe that Jesus Christ, he came, he really lived on this earth. He lived the perfect example for all mankind. He suffered. He died on the cross for everybody's sins. You know, I thank God. I thank the Lord that I don't have to die on the cross. Yeah. You know, some people fight baptism, don't want to get in the water. God made it easy for us. Suppose God would have said, in order for you to be saved, you're going to have to do just what my son did. How many people would be saved? I know one. I'm telling you, when I stick my finger with a pin, my wife say, well, you holler like a girl. Well, that's my pain. You must repent of your sins. No. So you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You repent, you change your mind about sin. That's why Jesus died for us. That's why I say baptism, it doesn't save us. Well, that's why Jesus came to this world, to die for our sins. And so your mindset about sin is that I don't want to live this kind of life anymore. I'm turning my life over to God. I'm going to live for God right now. And so your mindset changes. Listen, before you get in that water, some people get baptized for the wrong reason, don't they? Sometimes some of our members come there and say, look, brother, I need to get baptized again because I know I didn't know what I was doing. I just got baptized. I saw one of my friends go down and I wanted to be, you know, with my friend, and it surely wasn't because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I got baptized because I had my eye on this girl, and that's why I got baptized, so I could be in good with her. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not the reason to get baptized. Amen. No, that's not the reason. You get baptized because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You repent of all your sins. And Christians, now on the day of Pentecost, they confessed. They were not ashamed. Jesus said, whosoever shall deny me before me, and I'll deny me. Who shall ever confess me before me, and I'll confess before my Father who's in heaven. So we acknowledge that Jesus Christ, we're not ashamed of it. Anybody ashamed of Jesus? He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And so I am. There was a time, you know, and I'm being deliberate because I want to make sure. See, you know, sometimes we try to be cool, you know, especially when we're young. You know, I want to get baptized, but don't tell nobody. No, you need to be proud that you are a child of God. On your job, I don't mean you walk around with your Bible in your hand all the time, but on your job, we ought to live in a way that people know there is something about us. They know that you are a believer without even saying it with your mouth. They know it. And baptism comes after you believe, after you've heard God's word, after you repent of your sins, after you confess his name. And we're baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed all of my sins away. There's so many more details we need to talk about Jesus' life, but I don't want to jump too fast because I want you to make sure you get his beginning. His beginning was humble. It was learning. He was a student. That was preparation. Jesus listened. As we need to listen, notice this, and Jesus obeyed. He said, I didn't come here to do my will, but my Father's who is in heaven. And so everything that Jesus did while he was here, he did it at the instruction of his Father. After Jesus was baptized, the Bible says, in bodily form, a dove came out of heaven and landed on Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well. Anybody want to hear the Lord say, I'm well pleased? Anybody want to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful? Can you? Well, I wouldn't even want to fathom meeting God, and I have not been baptized into Jesus Christ. Is there one who wants to be baptized this morning? I know we are in a house full of believers, but I know somebody in here needs to be baptized. Amen. Is there one who needs the church to pray for them? Is there one who needs to ask us to pray for your sins? Won't you come right now as we stand, sing the song of invitation?
Have you been to Jesus?